Our scripture reading today is taken from the book of James, chapter 5, verses 13 through 18. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. These are the words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thanks. Don't think I need to introduce the sermon anymore that's already been introduced. The kids did a great job setting it up. We're going to be looking at Extreme Makeover, Church Edition, over the next 3 weeks. And, you know, we're kind of piggybacking on the successful project for Dale Dunning's Just Soup program that Shell Brothers and many thousands of others were involved in. Maybe some of you. How many of you were involved in one way or another? I know we have a bunch of folks from Bethel Church that were involved in that. As I thought about this Extreme Makeover thing, I thought about our church, as I'm always thinking about this church and thinking about the church in general, but particularly this church, and how we might be in need of a spiritual makeover. Think about that, an extreme spiritual makeover. As I thought about this, I realized that there were four things that we have to take into consideration, and these will be the major foci of the sermons that are coming up over the next several weeks. Today we're going to be talking about prayer, because prayer is one of the first things that we commit to when we join the church. When we say our membership vows in the United Methodist Church, we say that we're going to support the church with our prayers, our presence — you heard from presence up there — gifts, and service. We're going to talk about prayers, presence, and service over the next 3 weeks, and then we're going to talk about gifts during the month of November through our stewardship campaign. And that's going to be very different than any other stewardship campaign than we've ever done, but we'll be focusing on giving. As Pat said, this week I was in Kansas City at Adam Hamilton's 15,000-member church, Church of the Resurrection, in Leawood, Kansas. Place, you wouldn't believe this place, folks. It looks like a shopping mall. It's unbelievable. Todd and I were talking yesterday. Their gathering area, their narthex, if you will, is as big as this room, just to kind of give you an idea of the scale of the size of this church. And, of course, it seats 3,200 people, too, and they have, 7,000 or 8,000, 10,000 people worship on a weekend. But while I was there, I realized, after hearing a lot of speakers, going to workshops, experiencing worship and whatnot, you know, there's a lot of good things that we're doing right here at Bethel Church, and we need to celebrate that, and we need to lift those things up. You know, we have one of the best music ministries around. We have one of the best youth groups in our conference. And we have one of the best Sunday schools and vacation Bible schools around. But there are many other things that really, really need an extreme makeover. And you're looking at the first one. I need an extreme makeover. I'm in my 15th year of ministry, going on 16. And sometimes, as you read in the newsletter, sometimes you hit a wall. You ever been in a career, ever been in a place where you've just kind of hit a brick wall? And you don't feel like you're growing, you don't feel like you're moving, you don't feel like something is not right in your spirit. And that's kind of where I am, and I'm being brutally honest with you. I need an extreme makeover. Fred Duncan needs an extreme makeover, spiritually. And I'm hoping that in this coming week and in the coming months that I'll be able to hear God's voice, to discern a vision. One of the roles of a pastor is to cast a vision for a church. And frankly, I don't have one for Bethel Church. I'll be honest with you. If we don't have a vision, we perish. It says so in Proverbs. If the people are without a vision, they perish. I don't know about you, but I don't want us to perish. I need that vision. We need that vision. And so over the next several months, we're going to be talking about vision casting. We're going to be talking about our ministries, small group ministries, everything that we do here. We're going to take a real hard look, and I'm going to invite some people to come alongside us and to discern that vision and be a part of that team to look at what it means to be a fruit-bearing, vital congregation. And we're going to take a real hard look at some things. It's going to be painful in some cases, but in other places, it's going to be a wonderful joy and a fantastic journey. But makeover, any makeover, is impossible without prayer. It begins with prayer. Prayer is essential in anything that we set about doing in the church, or anything that we set about doing in life, really. And not just prayer, but effective prayer. The Bible says that Debbie just read the last verse, the prayers of the righteous person are effective and powerful. What do we mean by effective prayer? Well, I'm reminded of a story I read about a cab driver and a pastor. Okay, it's a joke. Okay. The cab driver and the pastor, they both died and went to heaven. They're standing at the gates meeting St. Peter, and the cab driver goes first, and he's given a higher position in heaven. And the pastor can't believe this, because the pastor's been faithful all his life. He's brought people to the Lord. He's preached a million sermons. He's been faithful. He's tried to tithe. He's done everything that you're supposed to do. And he sees this New York City cab driver ahead of him. And he says, what's up with that, St. Peter? St. Peter says, well, pastor, says, we basically base things on results. On the results. Says, stop and think about your sermons. What happens sometimes in your sermons? And the pastor scratched his head and thought about it for a minute. He says, well, you're kind of right. Says, people do nod off in my sermons. They do fall asleep in my sermons. And St. Peter says, that's exactly right. Says, but when people rode in this New York City cab driver's cab, they prayed. Effective prayer. The point is that if we are going to be, if we are in need of an extreme makeover, it's got to begin with prayer. And I'm hoping that on my vacation that I'm going to be able to spend some time reflecting and meditating and thinking about where we're going, where I'm going, and get closer to God. James gives us some direction in this scripture verse, these scripture verses today, some wonderful advice on prayer. One of the verses that I hang on to, James chapter 5. Prayer is essential in Christian's life. James says, if anyone among you is in trouble, let him pray. If anyone is in trouble, let them pray. That's usually when we pray, isn't it? When we are in trouble. Help! God, I've screwed up. I've messed up. Please, Lord, bail me out of this. Get me out of that. Maybe we should have been praying before we did whatever got us in trouble, asking for God's wisdom, guidance, and direction. But, they're called foxhole prayers. Any of you guys that have served in the military know what a foxhole is? Bomb crater. And a lot of praying going on in foxholes because the bombs are bursting and the bullets are flying, and soldiers pray in foxholes. And that's kind of what we do, is that when we get in trouble, we pray. The good news is that God can do an extreme makeover of our lives if we would pray before and not just after we mess things up. But if we are in trouble, and I don't want to think that our church is in serious, serious trouble, but we do have an issue. We do have a problem. Call it trouble if you wish. We need to pray as the people of God. Pray for your leaders. Pray for our finance people. Pray for every family in this church. And then pray what we can do about the situation. I told you about the fundraisers. I told you about the offerings. I told you about the gifts and so forth. Please pray for your church and pray for your pastor. James says, is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. We not only should pray when we're in trouble, but we should also pray when things are going well. Did you praise God this morning because you woke up? Did you praise God this morning because you have a roof over your head? Did you praise God because your family is well, your family's doing well, you got a job? Did you give thanks for the good things? Did you thank Him for your wife or your husband, your loved one, your significant other? Let's pray for good things that God is doing for us as well, and give praise. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and to pray over them. Of course we're to pray for the sick. That's why we have the healing service on the first Thursday of every month. That's why we go to the hospital and visit people who are sick. That's why we have a prayer list in the bulletin every week. That's why we have a prayer chain that Jenny Beal takes care of. When people need prayer, who do they call? They call the church. Say, please pray for so-and-so. Please pray for me. Pray for my uncle. Pray for this one, that one, the other. Because it says that the prayer offered in faith will make them well. God will raise them up. And if they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Prayer for the sick. That's what we do as people of God. And then finally it says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Folks, I could go on for hours preaching and talking about prayer, but we don't have the luxury of time this morning to do that. Let it be said, let it be known that prayer is essential. The question is, how is it with our prayer life? What is your prayer life like? Is it 2, 3, 4 minutes quick before we rush out the door, if we take that time at all? Why not get up a few minutes earlier in the morning before the busyness of the day and spend some time alone with God and pray? You know, we can pray throughout the day too. We can pray driving to work. We can pray, you know, at the coffee break, at our desks, wherever we are, at school, at work, to offer prayer. Paul says pray without ceasing. But pray, that's the important thing. Pray for God's wisdom. Pray for God's guidance. But please pray for Bethel Church, would you? Keep Bethel Church in your prayers. Keep your pastor in your prayers. Keep your finance committee in your prayers. But also pray for yourself. Remember, that little pinky finger represents yourself. We want to make sure that we pray for ourselves and ask God for what you should be doing in terms of your giving for the remainder of this year. A closing thought. If we have as a church would get back to basics, and that's basically what we've been doing, is getting back to basics, the 3 R's. Remember the 3 R's we talked about in the back to school, back to basics? If we would get back to basics, and if we would take our membership vows seriously and trust God in every aspect of our lives, including our finances, we as people, we as a church, can experience new life, new vision, and abundant fruit. That is what God promises us if we will trust and lean upon Him in all areas of our lives. And right now, financially, that is our concern. And we just ask God to speak to your hearts this morning. And we know that you'll do the right thing, because you love this church. But more importantly, you love God. And that's what it's all about. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you so much for the gift of prayer. And we just ask, oh God, that you continue to lead us and guide us and hear our prayers, Lord, and open our hearts to all that you have for us. And we ask, oh God, that you touch each heart here today and help us to discern what it is we are to do. We love you, Lord. We thank you and we praise you and ask all these things in Jesus' name.